Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday, August 23, 2023. The embassies of the United Kingdom and the United States are calling on authorities in South Sudan to investigate the killers of journalist Alan Christopher.
It is about the right of journalists to work in safety and about ending impunity for violence and crimes against them.
And activists in South Sudan's Unity State criticize lawmakers for increasing their salaries from an equivalent of $85 to $500 per month.
Because of this inflation, this 500 is not even enough because our state is being it's been affected by the flood. It's become like an island. We don't have other resources like the envelope, resource envelope we have here. We do not even estimate higher.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Diplomats from the United States and the United Kingdom are calling on the South Sudan government to investigate the death of Christopher Allen, an American-British journalist who was killed on August 26 in 2017 while covering clashes between the South Sudan People's Defense Forces and the former rebels of the Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition, or SPLA-IO. For VOA News, Charlton Doki reports from Juba.
This week marks the sixth anniversary of the death of journalist Christopher Allen. The United States and United Kingdom embassies in South Sudan released a joint statement Wednesday urging the government of South Sudan to disclose the findings of an investigation into the killing of Christopher Allen in 2017. In an audio provided by the U.S. Embassy in Juba, U.S. Ambassador to South Sudan Michael J. Adler calls on the government of South Sudan to be transparent.
On this solemn anniversary, the U.S. and U.K. embassies renew calls for the transitional government of South Sudan to conduct a credible investigation into the death of Christopher Allen, to make the results public, and to ensure accountability. After 6 years, Mr. Allen's family, friends, and colleagues deserve answers.
28-year-old freelance journalist Allen was killed in 2017 during fighting between SSPDF forces and the former rebels of SPLA-IO in the town of Kaya in central Equatoria State along the South Sudan-Uganda border. South Sudan's information minister and government spokesman Michael McQuay labeled Allen a white rebel killed in the clashes after news of Allen's death hit headlines. McQuay later changed the narrative and said Allen was killed in a crossfire as government troops fought to repulse the rebels of the SPLA-IO. John Wulu, a South Sudanese journalist, says the death of Allen has forced some reporters in South Sudan to self-censure.
As a journalist working in South Sudan, reporting in a conflict zone is not safe. And you see our country is not that professional. And many conflicts that happen in South Sudan, you does not even know who is fighting with who. And you don't know where will be your safety.
VOA reached out to Minister McQuay to comment on the story, but he said he was in a meeting. And Acting Foreign Affairs Minister Deng Dao Deng did not answer his phone. Major General Lul Roy Kong, spokesperson of the South Sudan People's Defense Force, says the former rebels of the SPLA-IO are responsible for investigating Allen's death because the American-British journalist was the guest of the SPLA-IO.
He entered the country illegally, got in touch with hostile forces. They came to attack us. We are not responsible. Those who deceived him and made him to invade with his forces should be the one carrying out an investigation on how he died. Because our forces were attacked or down, and they returned fire in self-defense. We have no reason to investigate someone who was killed on the other side. If he was killed on our side, we would have taken up the responsibility of investigating.
SPLA-IO spokesperson Colonel Lam Paul Gabriel says he disagrees with Kong, adding that his group is not responsible for launching an investigation into Allen's killing.
I believe what the American government is asking is for the unity government to take responsibility on exactly what happened and come up with a strong policy against such incidences that happen to Alan, or maybe issue a statement to the family.
Ambassador Adler says the call for a credible investigation and accountability in the cause of Alan's death is vital to the security of journalists in South Sudan.
It is about the right of journalists to work in safety and about ending impunity for violence and crimes against them.
The U.S. envoy to South Sudan added that a free and independent press is a vital core institution that supports healthy democracies across the world. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Still in Juba, 650 members of the South Sudan's National Legislative Assembly were paid $15,000 each for medical allowance. This happened in the backdrop of a recent protest by SPLM-IO lawmakers who protested approval of South Sudan budget for the fiscal year 2023-2024. Joel Nomangek Daniel is a member of parliament representing Chwaibet County in the National Legislative Assembly in Juba. He says the medical allowance was overdue, adding that lawmakers have not acted in a selfish manner by accepting the medical allowance. We now go live to Joel in South Sudan's capital, Juba, for more insights into why lawmakers accepted the medical allowance while civil servants across the country are demanding pay increase. Joel, welcome to this show.
Okay, thank you very much. I appreciate the VOA for contacting me to add my opinion and my comments on this national issue. But the members of parliament did not act in a selfish manner, as many have been saying it. I have heard the activists have been condemning the members of parliament. If it is a matter of having a national interest, we are above that. We are the one fighting for the national interest. I have been suspended. And as we are acting, we must understand that there are some issues which you must view practically.
And Honorable Daniel, when we talk about being practical, yes. You were one of the members of parliament who walked out protesting that civil servants should be given 600% increment instead of 400%. And some South Sudanese are saying you should have not accepted the $15,000 medical allowance and instead give that money to civil servants who have not been paid for months. How do you react to that?
I react to it by saying that the comments have not taken into consideration other issues. First, the money which is received now was supposed to be received in 2022. The question is, if this money were received at that time or would have been received at that time, would they have complained the same way? That is one. Second, if the members of parliament, like IO, who worked out, decided to reject the same money, would this money have gone to the public? It is better now they have received this money and they are supporting their members from constituencies. If you can ask members from our constituencies, we have given some of them, but we cannot announce because we should not show to the public that we have given. It is not their right, it is a privilege. Because the reason we walk out from the parliament to make sure that the government is accountable to the money which is received, because South Sudan received much more money than what this $15,000 which each member has received, and they have not even completed themselves.
But you are being paid. You are being paid at a time when everybody is not paid.
Let me finish. The whole thing is not who is right. We know the members of the employees across the country are suffering. The members of organized forces are suffering. It's not because of MPs. MPs are vulnerable like these members of public, and they are not able to speak because they don't have any ground to talk because they are also begging. So for us to have a ground for members of parliament to speak, they must be empowered like Kenya.
But it's my understanding. It's my Honorable Daniel.
Financially, you will be able.
Honorable Daniel.
MP receiving $600 currently.
Honorable Daniel, it's my understanding that MPs have immunity against arrest and they can speak within the confines of the National Legislative Assembly. Why are you not advocating for civil servants who have not been paid for months, and you're accepting a medical allowance of $15,000 at a time when people are struggling to put food on the table?
You need to understand this scenario. They are immune from arrest. That is correct. But they are not immune from being removed from parliament. And this is now a moral choice. You either decide to confront those who are in charge of resources and you risk being sanctioned or being removed from parliament. That is a moral choice, and a nationalistic approach to issues. If you feel that you love the people more than anybody else, you take the risk. If you have some consideration, you know your family at home, now you have to decide and you have to go with the wind. Apart from the SCLMIO, we can protect its members. Like I'm a member of SCLMIO, who was protected, I would have gone without the support from the leadership of the party and the membership.
And the moral question here is, Honorable Daniel, question here, which is a final question, do you love your people more than the $15,000 medical allowance?
This is the reason we have to choose. Like the other MP who rejected 40,000, is he able to account now? Does he know that it has gone to his people? It has not gone. But me, I can confidently say now that the money I have received, I've supported members who are sick, and they are now alive because of that. Some members who have died, I have contributed to be transported. This money has become even more useful as they're rejecting it. And the reason we rejected the budget, it was not because there is lack of resources. It was because the resources are there, but they are being allocated. And then the public is not being told. Is not being told the truth. Like the budget, we're trying to increase within the budget because there is a lot of money in another section.
All right, Daniel, I'm afraid I'm afraid time is not our best allies, but thank you very much for speaking to us on this matter. That's Joel Ngomagek Daniel, member of National Legislative Assembly representing Tribate County in Lake State, speaking to me live from Juba. Civil servants and civil society activists in Unity State are criticizing state lawmakers for increasing their salaries. The lawmakers approved a new pay structure on Monday, increasing their salaries from 71,000 South Sudanese pounds, equivalent to $85, to 500,000 South Sudanese pounds, which is equivalent to $500 per month. For VOA News, Lich Nyak Jok reports from Bantu.
Civil servant and civil society activists say the lawmakers should have increased salary of whole civil servant and members of the security force. The chairperson of United State Civil Society Network, Sijin Yin, criticized the lawmakers for approving what she described as a controversial emolument act.
The lawmakers themselves, they are the ones advocating for the raise of the civil servant. So they cannot advocate for their own salary. They need also to raise this concern about the whole civil servant, domestic workers, social workers, police, government officials, all these institutions need to be empowered like them.
Saur Yuan is the executive director for non-profit Climate Change and Smart Action for Adaptation, say any salary increase by the state lawmakers should be in line with South Sudan approved 2023-2024 fiscal year budget.
The 400% has been passed for the civil servant, and if the parliament should increase their salary, should be in line with the 400% increment by the national parliament.
Ryakong is a civil servant in United States. He says the lawmakers should have first looked into the welfare of the government employees in United States.
They are not only an MP. We want the army, the civil servant, to also as well the salary should be increased. That is something we all wish for.
Another civil servant who spoke on condition of anonymity for the fear of reprisal from the state official also criticized the state lawmakers for not following the right procedures.
With them starting with their salary increment, we look at it like it's they are prioritizing their interests before the interests of the civil servant.
Stephen Mawijoro, the chairperson of Information in United States Legislative Assembly, say passing of the payment is a part of the State Legislative Assembly conduct of the business.
Everything that was amended in the Emolument Act, we prefer it for the senior government official in the state. This is a budget for the year 2013 to 2024.
The chairperson of the Committee on the Economic, Finance and Investment at the United States Legislative Assembly say the state lawmakers also increase salaries of the state executive and other constitutional post holders.
Because of this inflation, this 500 is not even enough because our state is being is being affected by the flood. It's become like an island. We don't have other resources like the envelope, resource envelope we have here. We do not even estimate higher. We make this small one. We hope that this one will also maybe improve the living.
William Galois say the economic crisis in South Sudan forced state lawmakers to take action. The new increment was approved in the absence of the state governor and members of the executive. For BOA News, I'm Liel Nyaja in Bentiu, United States.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Zimbabweans head to the polls to elect their leaders. Find out how after the break. You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Some South Sudanese women and men are expressing diverse views on a recent campaign launched by women rights activists and a non-profit organization aimed at ending gender stereotypes in South Sudan. One woman says she cannot allow her husband to cook for the family. For VOA News, Wake Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
South Sudan's Minister for Gender, Child and Social Welfare, Aya Benjamin Warile, says a recent campaign encouraging men to cook for their families should be extended to other parts of South Sudan.
For us to have gender equality, some of these assigned roles, which is used against girls and women, cannot actually be used to create equality instead of inequality, instead of suppressing or violating women using these assigned roles, we can actually use it positively.
But Boldeng Bol, who hails from Jongole State, says cooking and other house chores are regarded as roles of women in his culture. He says he can secretly cook and do house chores when his wife is sick.
I'm not doing them in the open, that I can come to the compound and confidently start getting water, going to the borehole or fresh water where I can fetch them and start, washing and drying clothes out in the open. Neighbors will come, they will see and they will peep and say, okay, so the wife of Mr. X has enslaved her husband to the point that the husband is even washing her own clothes. The husband is washing and cleaning children. He's cooking.
Gloria Igbaha, a mother of three, welcomes the campaign, saying it's normal for her husband to cook for the family.
Cooking is not a gender-based thing. Like, it is not particularly for women. Okay? We can actually work together, achieving the same goal. My husband has the right to cook. For example, when I'm not feeling well, actually, maybe we're only two in the house. Of course, you can take over and do everything in the house. Just like how women do other roles, men role actually, you find women, they are women who are always working hard to cover up for their husbands.
35-year-old mother of three, Betty Miller, disagrees with the activists campaigning for men to cook. She says cooking is part of a woman's duty in her culture.
What will be my responsibility as a woman? This is totally going to make me to be undermined. Here in South Sudan, we take things on the other way. If you come to my house, you find my husband is the one cooking. Then I am the one sitting or I go and work. People end up putting things upside down. They will say this woman is very lazy. He's making this man to be the one to cook.
Pichiko Yunis, the program officer of the nonprofit Men for Women, says gender stereotypes about cooking have caused harm within families across South Sudan.
There are stories you hear: a woman, maybe she has lost a baby, or she has she has lost the baby because of too much hard work in the house, and she had miscarriage. And all along, the man could have helped her, but because he feels, I am a man, how will the society look at me washing plates, cooking for her, doing this? They will think I am incompetent or I am less of a man.
Eunice says her office plans to organize campaigns in other parts of the country to address gender stereotypes in the country. For VOA News, I'm Waki Simon Wudu in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Southern Africa, where voting began in Zimbabwe Wednesday morning amid reports of massive delays that the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission blamed on what it calls logistical problems. Columbus Mavunga files this report from the capital, Harare, where both main presidential candidates are hopeful of victory.
Zimbabweans started queuing as early as 5 a.m. to take part in the general election, in which 8-year-old incumbent President Emmerson Mnangagwa is competing against 10 candidates. He cast his vote in his hometown of Kwekwe, about 3 hours' drive from Harare.
If I think I'm not going to take it, then I'll be foolish. Everyone who contests, if you're going to race, you're going to race to win. And precisely so that I'm doing.
Mnangagwa's main contender is Nelson Chamisa of the Citizens Movement for Change, who cast his vote in Harare. He complained about delays to open the polls, but was optimistic of victory.
There's going to be peace in Zimbabwe, prosperity in Zimbabwe, and Zimbabwe will never be the same again. Citizens have won, citizens are winning. We are going to have a new government in this country.
40-year-old voter Lorraine Madziwa sums up the issues at stake in this Zimbabwean election. She says, in this country, we want industry to start working and people should have decent houses. We want houses in this area of Mbare renovated, as well as playing grounds and schools. At the grounds, our children can't use them because of their conditions. Sewage is all over. That's what I want addressed if the votes go as per my plan. But not everyone has change in mind, as in the case of 52-year-old voter April Kunonga. He wants what has been happening in Zimbabwe since the late Robert Mugabe was removed from power in 2017 to continue under Mnangagwa. He says when the government removed Mugabe's government, it started repairing roads, installing boreholes and irrigation pipes, as well as so many projects. Presidential results are expected by Monday, while results from the parliamentary election are expected to start trickling in Thursday morning. Columbus Mavunga for VOA News, Harare, Zimbabwe.
The first big event of the 2024 presidential election campaign in the United States will be held Wednesday when candidates of the Republican Party meet on a debate stage. VOA's national correspondent Steve Harman is in Milwaukee and has the story.
When the Republican candidates appear on the debate stage inside a downtown Milwaukee arena Wednesday night, the overwhelming frontrunner, former President Donald Trump, says he will not be joining them. Only one of the expected participants, former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, has been vociferous in criticizing Trump. Others, such as Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, have taken a more measured approach, hoping to convince a party base that remains loyal to Trump that they can implement the former president's right-wing Make America Great Again agenda without the legal encumbrances and other controversies.
Thank you.
Then there's Trump's former vice president, Mike Pence, who defends his ceremonial certification of the 2020 election results, which he did against Trump's wishes. He is still in the low single digits in most polls of potential 2024 Republican voters.
Referred to my hands, if they're small, something else must be small.
Even without Trump on the debate stage making his trademark outrageous comments, the conversation will be largely about him, including the more than 90 felony charges the former president faces for alleged crimes committed before, during, and after his presidency, predicts University of Mary Washington political science professor Stephen Farnsworth.
It creates a very, very difficult environment for the other Republicans because they have their own ideas for what they want to do with respect to key issues like the economy or Ukraine or immigration. But that doesn't mean they'll have much of a chance to talk about it. They'll be asked about Donald Trump.
The debate will not be very consequential for Trump. He will still be the front runner regardless of what happens. But for the others, there could be a viral moment, good or bad, that significantly changes their polling numbers, notes American University School of International Service Provost Associate Professor Jordan Tama.
We've seen from debates in past election seasons that candidates sometimes have a moment in a debate that ends up disqualifying them because they look bad. We've also seen moments in past debates where candidates have said something that got a lot of attention for them in a positive way and gave them a huge boost.
Each candidate on Wednesday evening will be hoping their performance propels them to an encore here when the Republican Party convenes in the city to select its general election nominee in July of next year. Steve Herman, VOA News, Milwaukee.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023. We now leave you with Raul Lino and the song Nyan Machar. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame, and our engineer, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
And the Jababana Waleri B. Yantin Wola Jingley, Abu Wola Jingley, Yantin Wola Jingley, Yelijing Abu Kalay Karkang. Yantin Wola Jingley, Abu Wola Jingley, Walijing Abu Kalay Karkang, and Lijing Abu Kalay Karkang.